Open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to talk about fighting the good fight of faith. You know, from the moment I got saved on April the 4th, 1979, I came to realize that the Christian life is a beautiful life, coming into the family of God and being a child of God and having your sins forgiven and the Holy Spirit coming into you. And then it's a life of growing from a little baby that's been born to learning to crawl and to roll over to crawl and then to walk and stand up and walk and then to run with God. Everything is a learning process in our life as Christians. And in the midst of all that, there's an enemy who wants to just cut the legs out from under you. He wants to knock you down and stomp on you. He'll kick you in the groin. Can I say that? Because he fights dirty. He is ugly, he is filthy, and he is dirty. And he'll do everything he can to beat you up and to take you out. He has no rules in his warfare. And so I want you to be prepared for the enemy. He is vicious and he is wicked and he is evil. He will attack your children. He'll attack your marriage. He'll attack you. You and I have to learn how to fight. You and I have to get tough as believers in Christ. We've not joined a country club. We've joined an army. We've joined a family. And we fight for each other. We never give up. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We do not devour each other. We pick each other up. We lift each other up. People will sin in the body of Christ. They're going to let us down. They won't meet our expectations. And you know what? We're going to be there for them, and we're going to help them. We're going to bless them, no matter what they've done. Now, if they don't want to repent, then we'll have to say, move on. Go do your sin and stuff someplace else. You're not going to infect the rest of us with your way of living. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That means you let sin in, let sin be practiced in the church. It'll affect everybody else. Everybody else start living that way. Then pretty soon we got a whole church full of hooligans, rascals, sinful people, destroying each other. The devil wants you to gossip about your brother or sister. The devil wants you to be jealous. The devil wants you to engage yourself in adultery and fornication. The devil wants you to go back to drugs and back to alcohol. He wants you to be a liar and a thief and a cheat. He's going to tempt you in every way. He wants you to be violent. He wants you to be an abusive husband or wife. He wants you to not be responsible for your children. He's vicious. If you let him get a foothold, he'll get a stronghold. He'll choke you out. And when you try to tap, he doesn't give up. He keeps choking you out. How do I become victorious as a believer in Christ? Jesus is our supreme example. As we discovered this morning with Moses, he found himself battling with a demonic influence, satanic influence over the children of Israel, as he put it in their hearts and in their minds that God had forsaken them, that God was no longer with them, that their leader, Moses, was gone. They're on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And thus, what do? Let's go back to what we know. Let's go back to the 400 years we were in Egypt. Let's go back to the world. Let's go back to the ways of Pharaoh. Let's go back to these false religions, because everybody was doing it. It was majority rules. That's the way the world is. A whole world rejecting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. A holy and righteous God, creating all their gods that lead people into satiating their flesh, into all kinds of carnalities and immoralities. See, that's how Satan operates throughout our world. And he gives us gods that we want for our power, for our greed, for our violence, for our control, for our immoralities. This is how it is in Islam. Very tyrannical religious system. Men rule. They can have multiple wives. The goal of their religion is to violently conquer the world. We still try to reach them for Christ, but at times we have to go to war against them. When it comes to the communists and that ideology, there is no God, atheism. The government is God. We rule. You serve the government. Everything you do is for the government. Socialism, communism. 140 million to 170 million people were killed through Nazism and communism and socialism in this century because they would not follow the dictates of the ruler God state. The ways of Satan are vicious. Islam has killed 240 million people throughout its inception from 600 AD and is still killing. Very important for us to recognize the strongholds of the enemy in religious systems and his power that he wields over complete populations. As he anointed Adolf Hitler to come against the Jewish people needed to come to Jesus Christ. They chose not to. When you don't come to Jesus Christ, God's hand of protection is no longer upon you. Violence takes place. If we're to be persecuted and martyred, so be it. God will prepare us for that. But the Lord teaches us how to fight and how to war. Back in the 80s, I did a documentary on Satanism in America. Myself and several other pastors, I was working for Pastor Raul Reese at Calvary Chapel, West Covina. We took it upon ourselves because we saw a movement of the occult and the satanic church in San Francisco with Anton LaVey and others spreading throughout the United States, our nation. So we took it upon ourselves to put together a documentary and information about how this whole process is taking place and how they are an attraction to people with their immoralities. One of the aspects of Satanism we discovered was satanic ritual child abuse. There were times when preschools were set up to ritually, satanically abuse children, molest them, sodomize them. And there were other ways they would do it as they would go stealth into a community. When they would do this ritualistic evil upon children, they would dress up as policemen, as soldiers, as nurses, as doctors, as priests, and then they would molest the children so that the children would never go to someone like that who would usually be known as someone to help them. It was horrific as we did our studies, as we did our intense research. And the very first night as we were, it was during the day and into the night, we were interviewing people who had been ritualistically, satanically molested from a child and now they're adults. And they told us how they were brought into the cult, the occult in the group. And it seemed good, and pretty soon, next thing you know, they're being ritualistically molested. I went home that night, and you felt sick, you felt dirty, you felt like, this is, do we really want to do this? I had gotten home a little bit late after everything was done, and my wife and my little boy, who was probably about 4 years old, 3 years old, right in there. I think he's 4 years old. They were already asleep, and I came home and got into bed and went to sleep. And all of a sudden, I woke up at about, 3 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning. And I just woke up because I heard something. And I looked, and my son had left his bedroom, and the way our little house was set up, there was a bedroom off to the side of our master bedroom, and he would walk through our bedroom and then go to the living room. And I woke up, and I saw him walking through our bedroom out the door into the living room, and he was heading towards the kitchen area where the front door was, and he was heading towards the front door to leave. And I jumped out of bed, you know, I kind of, what is he doing? And I, Josh, her son's name, Josh. And he just kept walking, and he was just about to the door. I said, stop, what are you doing? He says, I'm leaving. I said, what do you mean you're leaving? He was like in a daze. He says, I'm leaving. Stop what you're doing. What do you mean you're leaving? The devil is outside telling me to come. He's telling me to come. I said, wake up. And I knew that this was not going to just be a little research paper. This was going to be a tremendous spiritual battle as we began to uncover the depths of evil in our nation and in our world. See, my friends, Satan is wicked and awful. I don't know, I can't find the word right now. He will come after us with everything he has. And you and I, let me tell you this, you and I must not fear. Don't you ever be afraid of him. Because your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. He has conquered sin, he has conquered death, and he has conquered the devil himself. The Bible declares it. That is my faith, that is your faith, and we'll never give in. Amen? So it's important for us as we look to the scriptures, we look to the spiritual battles in life, that we are not afraid. Don't give the devil too much credit, by the way. You're in at your house, and you hear cracking, you hear this, you hear that. Oh, the devil, oh, the demons, oh, they're everywhere. Nah. Just sleep, go to bed, rest, you're good to go. Don't have a conversation with the devil. Hey, devil, come here, pull up. Let's have a cup of coffee. Tell me how scary you are. No, hey, don't even do that. I remember a story that was told by Martin Luther, who wrote the 95 Theses and put it on the Wittenberg Church as he protested against the Roman Catholic Church and all of its atrocities and false teachings. The story goes like this, whether it's true or not, I really don't know. But as he was writing the 95 Theses, and this is where we got what's called the Protestant Reformation, we're protesting against the Roman Catholic Church. By the way, we still are, in case you don't know that. At least we should be, because they haven't changed a whole lot. They still have many, 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 many false teachings and doctrines. And they're still calling the Pope Holy Father. And they still say he's the vicar of Christ, and his voice is just as authoritative as the Word of God, even if he tells you something wrong. And this has been going on for eons. And they killed all kinds of Christians within their history. If you don't know this, you need to study history regarding the popes. And right now, our present pope says, well, let's ease up on this abortion issue. Let's ease up on the homosexuality stuff. Well, I think we can start kind of embracing evolution. And you know what else? Yeah, the Holy Quran. Let's kiss it. It's a good book. Let's gather all the religions of the world together. Let's join hands, and we're all going to pray together. Is that what your Bible says? No. Our Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. All their religions are false. He's the only one. We do not join hands. See, this is the war we're in. Martin Luther was writing the 95 Theses. I thought I was going to forget that, huh? And all of a sudden it says Satan walked into his office as he's writing. And as he's writing, he looked up and he saw him. You know what he said? Oh, it's you. And he kept writing. Exactly. Because of the power of Christ. When you know the power of Christ, you're not afraid. You're not afraid. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Fight the good fight. We have the conflict. We have the fighting of the good fight. And then finally, we have victory in Christ. How does Jesus handle the devil? Let's learn from his example. Amen? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. No kidding. I'm hungry after I missed one meal. I don't know about you, but man, I'm ready to eat. He prayed and he fasted. It is interesting here that the Bible declares that Jesus was led by the Spirit. This was a Spirit-led confrontation. There are times where God leads us into a spiritual confrontation. This is where you put on the full armor of God. We're going to talk about that in a future study. But you're ready for that spiritual confrontation. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Unlike the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, where the environment was perfect and food was provided and plentiful, now Jesus is in the wilderness. There's nothing there. And there's no food. He's hungry and alone. It's not a garden of delight. It's a garden of thorns. It's a garden of that which is destitution. What does the word tempted mean? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I don't know about you. I really wouldn't want that. Oh, Spirit, lead me into a wilderness, and I want to be tempted by the devil. No, I don't want that. In a bad sense, by the devil, to test one maliciously, craftily, to put to the proof his feelings or judgment. In a God sense, to try to test one's faith, one's virtue, one's character. Now let's pause. Is there something going on in your life right now where your virtue, where your character, where your faith is being tempted to lead you away from Christ, to lead you into sin? The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He salivates for you. He wants you. Think about it now. Think about it. Do you have anger in your heart toward your spouse? The Bible says, don't let your anger go down with the sun, nor give place to whom? The devil. You mean if I harbor anger and bitterness in my heart towards my spouse or towards anyone, it says that I will give place to the devil? Yeah, you'll do some real evil stuff if you don't take that anger to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to start thinking about how you can get even or revenge, or how you can malign them, or you can hurt them. You're going to start thinking about it. And pretty soon, it comes out in your words, in your actions, and it gets real ugly. The Bible says, catch it, repent of it, turn to Christ with it, and put on his character. So let me just say, is there something going on right now in your life where you're being tempted to do evil, to do ungodliness, to engage in sin? If so, I want you to leave it here tonight. Don't take it out of here. Give it to God. Let's get rid of it. Do not give him a foothold. He'll destroy you. He'll destroy your marriage. He'll destroy your relationships. Dear Christian, God is on our side. For Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Common. I don't like that word. Because you know what? When that strong temptation comes, oh, this is unique. This is special. Nobody's ever gone through this before. No, all temptation is common to man. You don't understand, Pastor, what I was going through. It was no, it's common, man. Common. It's just common. Don't exalt it, man. You're just a sinner, saved by grace. Deal with the sin. But don't excuse it and say it was something unique, special, powerful, beyond our belief. No, you just, if you fell, you fell, okay? Let's fix it and let's move on. But it's common to men. So many times people will say, you know, I have this addiction. I have this disease. It's alcohol disease. It's drug addiction. And you know, I just can't say no. I just can't do it. Really? Really? You have to go out and buy this stuff. You have to then pick it up and stick it in your arm. You got to snort it up your nose. You got to drink it. It's self-inflicted, man. In the name of Jesus Christ, stop it. Don't go back to it. You got people knocking on your door, they want to give you that stuff, tell them to get lost. Best what they can do is start telling about Jesus. Hey, man, I want to tell you about Jesus. Don't let them in your house. Just tell them about Jesus. Start talking about Jesus. That drug person's going to leave. You're nuts. I'm out of here. You see, my friends, you have to take the initiative. Some people I come across, they say, well, God hasn't delivered me from it. Yes, he has. Listen, what's he say next? There's no temptation that overtakes you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, now say no to drugs. I know that sounds real simple, but isn't that the truth? Do you want to smoke dope with me? No. Right? Isn't that it? Let's go get wasted and drunk out of our minds. And be stupid. That's why they call it Bud Dumber. Not Bud Wiser. You're never wiser when you're drinking a bunch of Budweiser. You always become Bud Dumber. You just say, no, I don't want to do that. And you walk away. Don't use that excuse of, well, God just hasn't delivered me. Yes, he has. You have Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. Now let's go, man. Let's not make any excuses. Amen? It's all common to man. James 1, 13 to 15 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see, he tells us, hey, look it, God doesn't tempt you. You saw the temptation, and then you began to embrace the temptation. You began to practice the temptation. Where God says, no, you should have run the other direction. Don't run into it. Run away from it. So James tells us, look, it is in the desires of your heart. You're dragged away and enticed. In other words, the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I cannot trust my heart, guys. Oh, he's got such a good heart. No, I don't. I got a despicable, deceitful, destructive, sinful heart. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. the only thing I can trust in life is not you. It's not my heart. Now, I don't want you to take offense at that. It's just reality. We're all sinners. But I trust in the Word of God. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will square off with me and just tell me the absolute truth about my evilness, my wickedness, my sinfulness. And we all need this. I need my life transformed by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I need my life transformed by the Word of God. You're now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. You're being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So James says, so what are we trying to say? We're not going to sit there and blame the devil on everything. We're not going to blame other people on everything. We're not going to blame our environment on everything. You're not going to go back into your past and say, well, you know, I was brought up this way, my parents were this way, and blah, 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 blah. You know, you're a born-again Christian, let's change. Amen. Okay? All my friends, they made me do it. No, you're a born-again Christian, let's change. You blew it, let's go on. Let's repent, let's move on. See, this is the key to the Christian life. No excuses. Amen? We remember the war that began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. One commandment, don't eat of the tree with the knowledge of good and evil. Satan says, has God really said? So the first thing that he's going to try to get you to do is to question the Word of God. Does he really mean that? I really can't live that way. Yeah, you really can't live that way and go to heaven. You have to repent of your sins. Okay? Well, if I was just, you said that sinner's prayer, you're good to go. Well, if you said the sinner's prayer and you meant the sinner's prayer and you have faith in Christ, it means you're totally committed to him. You've totally surrendered your will to follow his will. That's what the Christian life is. It's not just saying a prayer one day and there it is. That's the beginning of your faith in Christ. But what took place, should be taking place in your heart is, I am totally committed to God for the rest of my life. Now, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to be a sinner turned into a saint. Amen. But you no longer are going to live for sin and live for the devil and live for this world. You want to change and you will change because Christ is in you. We find our Lord said to us how to, he spoke to us on how to prepare for the battles. He said in Matthew 26, 40 to 42, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying, he says to the disciples, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights to take on the devil in hand-to-hand combat. He says, keep watching and praying that you may enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How do I overcome the temptations that come to me? Jesus says it begins with prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us to recognize the sin that knocks on the door of our hearts. I pray that we'll recognize when Satan comes or the demons come with a false idea, with a temptation, with a lie regarding the Word of God or about our lives or about one another. And we will be men and women of prayer empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we will spiritually recognize these temptations from the enemy and that we would then go to the Word of God and we would then become overcomers. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, you see, you go to prayer when you feel like your skin is crawling, your flesh is crawling for sin. You go to prayer, drop to your knees and pray. When you find yourself in a situation or a place you ought not to be, get out and run for your life and pray. God will be with you. God will deliver you. God will help you. But you have to call upon Him. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus Christ when you pray, and then you have to make a decision to run, to fight, to get away from that place where you're going to fall, and so on and so forth. Let's dissect the temptations. We find ourselves fighting the good fight in verses 3 through 10. We see the conflict. Now we fight the good fight. When the tempter came to him, came to Jesus, that is Satan, when Satan came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, and actually a better translation is, since you are the Son of God, because Satan knows who he is, and Jesus knows who he is, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan looks at your weakness. Do you know your weakness? What is your weakness in life? What is your weakness? You know, we call it the Achilles heel. A lot of times people, to conquer an enemy, they take the men and they would slice the Achilles tendon. Nobody can run away now. The Achilles heel. What is your weakness? Some, it may be their anger. Some, it may be lust. Some, it may be jealousy. Some, it may be envy. Maybe wanting to steal. Could be greed. Some, it could be power. What is your weakness? Do you know it? He's going to come. He knows your weakness. He's going to come. And in your weakness, you must become strong. You must recognize when he comes to tempt you in that weakness. Jesus, I know you are really hungry. You're a human being. You are hungry. You are starving to death. You have the power. Turn the rocks into bread. Go ahead. Satan, he projects. He speaks to you. He wants you to do something. You'll hear the voice. And that's where you recognize that's not the voice of God. That is the voice of the devil. I will not follow that voice. What does Jesus do? Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus has been praying. Jesus has been fasting. Jesus is a man of the word of God. He's been studying. He's been learning his whole life. As a human being, he is the Word, and yet he shows us that we must learn the Word, study the Word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. The Awana motto, yes? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's why I constantly share with you, this is why we study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Because we're called to study the Word of God, a workman that need not be ashamed. We work at it. We want to be experts in it. And we study it so that we will not be deceived by Satan, by the world, by the culture, by false religions, by any person. We study and we learn. Now, when we fight the good fight, we find that Jesus uses three spiritual resources that are available to us today. Number one, the power of the Holy Spirit. As I live as a Christian, I ask Jesus and my Heavenly Father to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the things of life. Okay, because I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I need constantly be learning. I also ask that the Holy Spirit would empower me and lead me into all truth. As I've studied the work of the Holy Spirit, his job, according to Jesus, is to lead me into all truth, for he's the Spirit of truth. So that way I won't be deceived. So I ask, Spirit of God, lead me into all truth. The Bible also says that the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. Convict me. Change me. Because I don't want to be destroyed with sin. The job of the Holy Spirit is also to bring scriptures to my remembrance. I'm taking this from John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters. Jesus gives a discourse about the Holy Spirit. Bring scriptures to my remembrance. I'm in a situation. What's the right thing to do? Spirit of God brings you a scripture that you've learned, that you've studied, that you heard in church, that you read in your devotional. And he speaks to you. This is what you need. Here is understanding. Here is knowledge. Here is wisdom. The job of the Holy Spirit also is to tell me things to come. So I'm not in the dark in the world that is happening around me. I know how close we are to the coming of the rapture of the church. I know that there is a great tribulation period coming upon all of planet Earth, and two-thirds of humanity will be destroyed by great cataclysmic events and persecutions and wars and famines and pestilences. It's coming. And I'm called to declare this to the world. This is, God tells us what's to come. He tells me there's going to be many false Christs and false prophets and false teachers throughout the scriptures. So I just don't take some guy that says he's a pastor or anybody else and just, okay, he's a pastor, I just accept whatever he says. No, is he preaching and teaching the Word of God? Does his speech match the Word of God, the life of Christ? Because Jesus warned me there'll be many false prophets and false teachers and false Christ that will come in the last days. And so I realize this is the working of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden you'll be listening to somebody on television or radio and they're off the wall preacher or teacher, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, now listen, do not follow them. For me, in my younger days, as I was learning and growing, it was as if the Holy Spirit did this in my brain. It's like he just drew a big question mark about that preacher in my brain. It was the weirdest thing. I'm a little weird, but that's okay. And it was like, there's something not right here. There's just something not right. I need to question what this person is teaching. And so I go to some of the other pastors on staff. I was just a young Christian growing in the Lord. I say, hey, what do you know about so-and-so? They're saying some stuff. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just learning. And they go, ah, do not follow them. They're off the wall, and I'm going to tell you why. Bam, 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 bam. This is where they're off when it comes to Bible doctrine. Because the Holy Spirit wants to help you and protect you and provide for you and minister to you and counsel you, teach you. So we are dependent on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in all things. Secondly, three spiritual resources: the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the power of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting makes you spiritually in tune, sharp, ready to go. When you fast, you're denying the flesh. You're humbling yourself before God. You're saying, God, I want more of you. If you want to diet at the same time, that's up to you. But anyway, but you pray and you fast. And it just gives you the spiritual edge, the spiritual sharpness. It's as if things become much more clear in your spiritual life. In fact, the Bible even says if a husband and wife are having difficulties, they're to give themselves to prayer and fasting. Why? Because God wants you to turn to the Word of God and to pray and to deny your flesh and stop your arguing and stop your fighting, because it's ungodly, it's not right, and he wants you to examine your heart and he wants you to clean your heart out and get rid of the ugliness and the bitterness that you have towards your spouse. He wants you to radically change your heart. So he calls you to prayer and fasting that brings you into an examination in regards to the Word of God. You're being x-rayed by the Word of God. You're reading it, you're praying, you're fasting, and it's showing you your sins. Then you go to God and say, Lord, I have blown it. I've been sinning against you, number one. And number two, for me, it'd be as a husband, it'd be going to my wife saying, honey, God has shown me in prayer and in fasting, these are the sins I've committed against you. Maybe you think there's more, but this is what I know of right now, and I am so sorry for what I've done to you. I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. I shouldn't have treated you that way. I've been a lazy husband. I've been irresponsible. I've done these things. You know what, honey? I am really sorry, and I want you to pray for me, and please forgive me if you will, but you know what? More than anything, I'm going to show you that I'm a changed man. Don't just tell me, show me. Amen? Talk is what? Cheap. You got it. Change me. See, prayer and fasting, it really hones us in. And it brings a supernatural power. Jesus said, some demons will not come out except through prayer and fasting. There's a turbocharged power that begins to take place. You put some nitro in the gas. This is what happens. So Jesus has been praying and fasting. And thirdly, his dependency, his spiritual resource rather, was on the Word of God. Three times we'll read here, it is written, it is written, it is written. Prayer, fasting, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. This is when you become a powerful warrior for Christ. A solid soldier. First temptation, turn this stone into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. True life, the Bible says that God is life, God is light, and God is love. True life comes from God. True spiritual life comes from God and his word. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8:3 from the Torah, and he declares it. So this is important for us. This is why we study, we learn, so we can declare the Word of God. Jesus is teaching us to deny our sinful flesh, to obey the Holy Spirit. This week, I would like for you to study Galatians 5:16 through 26. It talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And make sure you've got the fruit of the Spirit operating and the flesh is put out of business. Amen? God is life. A couple of guys from the Old Testament, we found they fell. Samson, remember him? He fell to temptation. He fell to the flesh. He fell to the lust of the flesh. He met a girl named Delilah. Remember that? And he's there. And three times he allows her to tempt him. And the Philistines come in. They try to bind him up in ropes and everything else. He breaks loose and all this stuff. And then finally, this guy, such a knucklehead. He just breaks down and says, you know, my hair's never been cut. I took a Nazarite vow, blah, blah, blah. But really what happened was he had left the Lord. He'd exited God. He just gave up on God. And he was given into this woman. And as I've always said, she was the kind of sister you don't want to hang out with, okay? She's Delilah or Delier. And he cuts his hair. And the next thing you know, this guy is, his eyes are gouged out by the Philistines. He has no strength any longer. And he becomes like an ox grinding at the mill, pushing the stone around. And that was his life. Till finally, he repents and he gets his strength back by God. And then he destroys the Philistines one last time, even though he's blind. David, of course, fell to temptation. He fell with Bathsheba. He took a year for him, but he finally repented and got things right. But he had to pay the price for his sins. In this temptation, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Everything that comes to us from this word, the Bible, is our spiritual food. Feed on it, my friends. Feed on it. Eat a healthy diet of God's word and make your body, your spiritual body, strong. Amen? Work out with the word of God. Pick it up in the morning. Go like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. Get it going, man. Get it going. Verses 5-7, we have temptation number 2, the pride of life. The pride of life. That was the lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Now watch this very carefully. Satan says, "For it is written." This is where he uses false teachers who take the word of God, they twist it, they don't teach it properly. They teach you a false doctrine. They constantly pull it out of its context. And they develop what we call eisegete the scriptures. It's my idea of which I take the scriptures into my idea and I pull it all out of context. And now I teach you my idea. We are taught as Bible teachers to exegete the scriptures. The scriptures speak for themselves, all in context, from Genesis to Revelation, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Keep it all in context. Don't rip it out of its context. This is where you have the health and wealth preachers, but I won't go there yet. The pride of life. Satan says, "It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." Satan is quoting from Psalm 91. Psalm 91. "And in their hands they shall bear you up," he says, "lest you dash your foot against a stone." He leaves out part of a verse, part of the verse, rather. He quotes Psalm 91, verse 11. What does Jesus say? He said to him, "It is written," again, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 6, 16 to 19, where it says, "You shall not tempt the Lord." The rest of the passage is thought-provoking. It says, "Your God, as you tempted him in Massah, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken." Now, Jesus doesn't quote the whole verse, but I thought I'd share it with you because it's a very interesting passage. He just quoted what he needed to quote as he was battling the devil. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus is God. Jesus is being tempted. He is the Lord of all, including Satan. And you shall not tempt him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Now let's look at that verse that Satan quoted. Satan deceptively quotes Psalm 91, verse 11. "He shall give his angels charge over you," but he leaves out, "to keep you in all your ways." He drops that out. Jesus, throw yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple. Let your angels scoop you up and exalt you. And here you go, man. You don't have to go the way of the cross. You don't have to die for the sins of the world. You don't have to be that Messiah, that Passover lamb. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have your heel bruised. I don't want you to crush my head. Just right now, just avoid that cup of death. Let your angels scoop you up. Receive the glory right now. Let everybody praise you. No. No, Jesus' way was the way of the cross to bring us salvation so we can go to heaven and not hell. He was committed to the will of the Father. He says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you," but he leaves out, "to keep you in all your ways." And then he says, "In their hands they shall bear you up, unless you dash your foot against a stone." To keep you in all your ways. It is the way of the Lord. It is the will of God for Christ to die for our sins. So Jesus battles with him. It is written, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Go to verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Look at every empire, every kingdom. They all belong to me. The Roman Empire belongs to me. Every empire belongs to me. From China to India to the Europe. It all belongs to me. Into Africa. It all belongs to me. Satan is just boasting his brains out. It's all mine. And I'll give you this glory. The lust of the eyes. All the riches. All the power. Ah, you can have it all. It's all yours, Jesus. What does he say? He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You know how many people Satan has come to with that statement? I'll make you a famous musician. I'll make you a famous celebrity. I'll make you rich. I'll give you anything, man. Just embrace me, worship me, follow me. Come on, I'll give it all to you. I've read testimonies of musicians and these artists and so forth where they literally say they feel possessed on stage when they play. And they have a supernatural power of playing when they get into that music that they don't really sense they have on a regular basis. You bet Satan works through music. You see, my friends, Satan always comes and wants people to worship him. What does Jesus teach us? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve our Heavenly Father. We serve our God. We worship him. What you worship is what you will serve. If you worship ungodliness, if you worship immorality, you'll become a slave to it. It'll drag you down and you'll get disease from it and it will ultimately destroy you. So many STDs today, from chlamydia to human papillomavirus to gonorrhea to syphilis to AIDS and on and on and on we can go as people worship the culture of our world and the flesh of our world. And they think, I'm okay, I'll get away with it. It will destroy you. I'll just get an abortion, everything will be fine. And the woman is now sterile for life. She can never have a baby. That has happened time and time and time again. Just bow down and worship me, Satan says. Jesus did not argue in regards to the devil's dominion, but quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. You shall fear or worship the Lord your God and serve him. Once again, ponder on the rest of the passage in verses 14 to 15. And shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. The Bible then says in verse 11, then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. These three temptations, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, Satan came to him, trying to draw him in, to make him disobedient. And Satan will come to you. The only way to be victorious is what? Be spirit-led, be a man or woman of prayer, and be in the Word of God. And you will always defeat the enemy. Always defeat the enemy. James tells us in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. I come across some people that say, the devil this, the devil that, the devil, 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 devil. They're always thinking about the devil. I like deviled eggs, but no, don't think about the devil, okay? The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Serve the Lord. Think about Jesus. Think about God. Be in the Word of God. Don't think about the devil. Don't give him the time of day. Resist the devil. He must flee from you. Don't tell him to pull up a chair, like I said earlier. Get in the Word of God. Jesus, I'm focused on you. Amen. So don't devil everything, okay? Be in the Lord. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the in the world, that is of the world, in the world. Greater is he that's in you." So don't be afraid. Thirdly, we know that Satan's destiny, Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I know the destiny of the devil, and I know the destiny of us. Wherever the Lord is, we shall be. Amen? We will always be with the Lord, the Bible declares. You are the bride of Christ. You're going to be married to the Lord. We're going to be married to the Lord. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. We are overcomers because Christ overcame for us. Amen? Let's stand. How many of you need prayer tonight? If you need special prayer, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm asking you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. We all want to pray for each other. God, help us and guide us and empower us that we become spiritual men and women, overcoming the attacks and the onslaughts of Satan and his demons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this night to thank you for your great love and grace and tender mercies. And as these many hands have gone up, we need more of you, Jesus. We need more of you in our hearts, in our lives. If we've been compromising, Lord, please forgive us. If we've been embracing the world, Lord, change us. If we've been following false ways, Lord, we don't want to be deceived any longer. We want you to speak to us. We want you to guide us. We want to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to have a deeper, richer, more powerful prayer life. Talking to you not only in the morning and the evening, but throughout the day. Praying without ceasing, as Paul the Apostle has instructed us. For those that are being tempted, Lord Jesus, may they have the spiritual eyes to recognize and to say no. And then to walk away, to submit therefore unto God and resist the devil, so he must flee from them. May you anoint this body of believers. May you anoint all of us together by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we be men and women of truth, men and women of love, men and women of grace and mercy. May you heal marriages, Lord. Husbands, repenting of their sins. Wives, repenting of their sins. Turning to you. Turning to each other. In love and forgiveness. In humility. In peace. Renew relationships here tonight, Jesus. As we surrender, we must surrender our hearts to you, and God will renew that relationship. Lord, if we have anything against someone, get rid of that bitterness tonight, Lord. Get rid of that vengeful feeling. May we turn to you and say, no. No to this evil that's in my heart. Yes to you, Jesus. Fill me. Your peace, with your love, with your mercy for all people. Change my heart. Lord, I will be obedient when it comes to these struggles in drugs or alcohol. I will follow your ways. Change us, Lord Jesus. We submit unto God. Resist the devil. He must flee from you. Say no to your flesh. Say no to this world. Say yes to God. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to the Word of God. My dear friends, be victorious in Christ. Jesus, be glorified always and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, I'll leave you with this. I'm a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, and tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army or die in this army, but I will not get out. I will not sell out. I will not be talked out or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot hold me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. I am a soldier in the army. I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Now let's go for God. Amen.